I travel and try to encourage philanthropists to use their voices and their money wisely and to protect LGBTQ or create LGBTQ rights.
Welcome to the Women on the Move podcast from JPMorgan Chase. I'm Sam Saperstein. Women on the Move is a global initiative designed to empower female employees, clients, and consumers to build their careers, grow their businesses, and improve their financial health. Each episode will feature successful and inspiring women who are breaking the mold. They're sharing their career journeys and leadership lessons, talking about their professional and personal goals, and making a difference in the lives of others. This season, I'm taking you to the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, where I caught up with many of the women who inspire me every day. My guests today are giving a whole new meaning to family activism. Ari Getty and her daughter-in-law, Gigi Gorgeous, are leading voices for LGBTQ plus rights. Driven by their personal connections to the cause, they have harnessed their respective roles as a philanthropist and YouTube influencer to spread awareness of the many challenges facing the LGBTQ plus community. Ari champions the work of organizations like GLAAD, the LGBT Center in Los Angeles, and Youth Academy to bring resources and mental health treatment to vulnerable populations. Catapulting from makeup expert to social media influencer, Gigi uses her platform as a YouTube celebrity to increase transgender visibility and promote a message of positivity and acceptance to her audience of millions. Over the course of our conversation, Ari and Gigi gave me a glimpse of their passion and motivations for their work, and I'm excited to share our talk with you. So Ari and Gigi, thank you so much for being here on our Women on the Move podcast. Really appreciate you seeing you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So, Ari, let me start with you. You and the Getty family have just been big philanthropists for a long time. And I want to ask you, why focus so much on the LGBTQ community? Why is that so important to you?
First and foremost, both of my children are gay. And if I'm not going to champion for them, who will? There aren't enough people trying to make a difference, trying to create acceptance. Not even acceptance, tolerance at the very least, but acceptance is the goal. So I've immersed myself in the world of LGBTQ to be that champion, to look out for my daughters, and now what my second daughter, my daughter-in-law, Gigi.
That's right. Congratulations on joining the family.
Yeah.
So it's a very personal mission for you. Had it always been there as part of your life? Is it more recent? You know, tell us about your evolution.
It's been part of my life probably for about the last 18 years, maybe even longer. As I work more closely with the LGBT Center in Los Angeles and I see the need for the work that needs to get done, that keeps me very connected. And I travel and have panels in places like Indianapolis or
here in Davos.
Davos, London. Mm. Just to try to encourage philanthropists to use their voices and their money wisely and to protect LGBTQ or create LGBTQ rights.
So in August of 2019, Variety named you 2019 Philanthropist of the Year. And that's a really wonderful distinction. So congratulations.
Thank you.
What do you think sets apart your philanthropy from others? Do you do something that's different?
I've been told that I do things differently. I haven't sort of been keeping tabs on it, but what I have been told is that I'm very hands-on. So when I go on my United Nations Foundation trips, I go to the refugee camps. I don't write a check and expect results. I work very closely with GLAAD, with the center in LA. Mm-hmm. Weekly schlep bags of clothing to the center.
That is hands-on.
It's hands-on, yeah. And we maintain that structure.
And so does that enable you to get a lot closer to the people that you're helping?
A lot closer to the people that we're helping and a lot closer to the situations that need more help to understand what needs greater help, what areas.
Well, tell us more about the Foundation Youth Academy and the upcoming center that you're building for seniors. Because
yes.
Those are both very vulnerable populations for different reasons.
They are. So the Youth Academy is already open at the Anita May Rosenstein building at the center in Los Angeles. And I underwrote the Youth Academy. And it's a place where the youth go to sleep, to study, they get their GEDs, and they get to have an address, which coming from being kicked out of their homes to sleeping on the streets, having an address and having a place to go to is a very big...
That's invaluable support.
It is. It really is. And to get the help, the mental health help, because you've sort of been abandoned.
Right.
And you can't help but have stress related to that. And the senior center, we're building 25 apartments, which should be open, I think, in the next year. And I'm very excited about the duality of having the seniors with the youth and be able to share their stories and experiences, and for the youth to understand what it was to go through the AIDS crisis.
Right.
And, you know, to understand what the seniors have gone through, and for the seniors to learn how to work a cell phone and be able to interact in that way.
And so will they be co-located? So,
yes.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yes. It's all on the same campus.
Oh, that's really nice.
Yes.
So two communities can really come together.
Yes, and they have their meals together.
So along these lines, how did you get so involved with GLAAD as a very important advocacy organization?
When I met Sarah Kate, she said that their doors were about to close from lack of funding. And I realized that it was such an important organization to run. So I committed right there and then to funding the continuation of their work, and then donated the $50 million for the GLAAD Media Institute,
wonderful,
which trains young activists, ambassadors, and we're at 10,000 now.
Incredible.
So, yeah.
So that's what the Institute does. They'll go out there and recruit and train and talk to folks to go carry the message further.
Yes.
That's unbelievable. I mean, I'm sure that's a very passionate community who want to do this work.
Yes.
And now they can, thanks to your generosity. That's wonderful. So, Ari, can you talk about your family? I mean, you must be so proud of the things that they've achieved. And being such a supportive mother, I'm sure, goes a long way. But they did a lot on their own. So just tell me what you feel like when you look at your family now.
I'm hugely proud. I look at them now, and it's hard to put it in a framework of what were they like 10 years ago? What did I see this path coming? The thing that I would have to say that I admire the most about them isn't what they do, but it's who they are. It's what they stand for, and it's what they show up for. And there hasn't really ever been a time when I have asked them to show up that they haven't.
That's great.
Yes, as a mother, that makes me feel like, you know, we still have the same closeness that we've always had. And now I get two for the price of one with Gigi.
That is great. No, you
never.
Can tell. I mean, to see you out here doing what you love to do together, it's very rare, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
and we go to all of the functions and galas together. We cause a ruckus.
Yeah. It's crazy to think that it's rare.
So, Gigi, let's talk about influencers and, you know, the kind of influencer you are, especially on social media. But before we do, I'd love to know, you know, how did you come to find your voice and the person that you are? And were there role models for you when you were looking for folks to learn from?
For me growing up, I'm going to just say no. There really weren't any people in mainstream media or in my, you know, town. I grew up in Toronto, which is, to some may seem like a small town, but it really was a big city.
Yeah.
And I would go to the city all the time. And I knew a few gay people, but in high school and for most of my adolescence, I really did not know anybody that I could look up to or identify with. So when I started YouTube, the word influencer, first of all, was so not a word.
Right,
that's
right.
Like so a new word.
That's a wholly new creation.
Which I don't even know how I feel about it because, I mean, on one hand, it's like you got to influence positivity. But then on the other hand, it's like, is it genuine positivity you're pushing depending on your platform?
I think so.
So there's an internal battle with me with that word. But I feel like, for me, it's all about pushing positivity and influencing others to look on the bright side, regardless of your situation, because like I said, when I started, there was really nobody to look up to. So I just had my best friends. I had my family. Mm-hmm. And it was like, you know, let's try to make the most of it. Let's have fun and be creative. And, you know, it was lighthearted. It wasn't that serious.
Yeah.
But when things kind of got rolling, it was like, okay, I'm getting strength from the people that are following me and coming back for each video and, you know, replying. We're like having these conversations online, and I never had that. So
that's unbelievable.
It changed my mind early on, and it made me see that the internet is a very powerful place.
Yeah. So talk to me about some of the feedback that you did get, like the community response and support. How did that make you feel when you started to see it build?
It made me feel good. It made me feel not alone and not as shy. Like, I was never really a shy person. Even before I transitioned, like, as a young boy, I really always was really outgoing and really confident. I, of course, had my moments, but getting that feedback from people seeing, like, the real you and what you really want to put forward is so validating, and I still feel that. Like, I feel like every single time I see a nice comment, I'm like, oh, like, they can relate, and like we are kind of on the same wavelength of life, and it just feels so good. So it's not gotten old.
Well, no, and to know that you really do help people, especially younger people and maybe kids who now feel like they finally have other people like them, that seems to be so important.
Yes, it is. And I feel like just giving back in general, like the way that Ari has, like it's so inspiring. And I feel like she is like a mentor to so many, but to be so close to her and to see how hands-on she really is and see, you know, this is our third year together that she's brought me to Davos with her and GLAAD. And it's like the power and the presence that she has is so inspiring, and it's only gotten bigger, you know, it's not slowing down.
No.
So it's super, super amazing to see somebody who has been in the game. She's been practicing advocacy for 18 plus years. I'm not there yet, but it's nice to see that the work has paid off in her respect and with my work as well.
Yeah.
So it's like generations and different lines of work as well. You know, like, I don't know if I would have ever come to Davos. YouTube is here this year, so maybe I would have come this year, but I would have not seen, you know,
in prior years.
Exactly. Yeah. And also I wouldn't have been exposed to such LGBTQ centric things, which is the most important to me in my heart.
Yeah. So Gigi, you've used your internet celebrity status to bring attention to the transgender community, to anti-bullying. Why is it important to you to use that pulpit, if you will, to talk about these issues?
I see so many people with, you know, large and little followings online sharing their stories, whether it be their coming out story or a bullying story, a story where they were misgendered, anything like that. Even just a little sentence here and there within a makeup tutorial or a what's in my bag or just a whatever video. You know, I'm all online and I get sent so many things. So it's not about my pull. It's just the fact that it's happening and people are seeing it, because you never know who's going to see what you put out there.
Right.
You never know who it's going to touch. You never know, like, if you're living basically the same life as somebody else across the world in the same country next door, you never, ever know until you put it out there.
Yeah, which is great. I mean, to see what actually takes off, right? Sometimes it's unexpected.
Yes, exactly.
And you've done collaborations with a number of different stars. And I'm wondering, how do you pick the people to work with?
I feel, it's like Ari, actually, we've never really talked about this, but it's always got to be genuine.
Yeah.
I feel like, especially in this industry we're in, it's like, pair up with this person, you know, this could work. And it's like, if I don't really have, not necessarily a best friend relationship, but it's like, if we're just meeting and we're doing something, it's kind of weird.
If
you know,
doesn't continue, if you can't see the potential for a real...
Exactly. Yes. Collaboration, friendship, long-term process. Definitely. So I want to make it genuine, authentic, and of course, something that our brands both align. You know,
right.
We stand for the same things.
Right. Have you learned anything from those partnerships? You know, when you talk about alignment of brands, are there things that their brands teach you?
Yeah, definitely. Every single day. Even if I'm not collaborating with somebody, to witness somebody's brand grow and, you know, just blossom in an authentic and beautiful way, even like, especially within my community, but even outside of my community, it's a really beautiful thing and I respect it.
That's great. So in November, you debuted your collaboration with the makeup brand Ipsy.
Yes.
And you're talking about a genderless line of makeup.
Yes.
Tell me what that even means. I'm very curious about this. I don't think I've ever heard that term
before. It was silly to me to even have to say that, because getting started in makeup when I was 15, I felt that makeup was genderless, and that's what actually cosmetics taught me. I think their slogan is something like, no sex, no gender, something like that. And I said it so bad. I just butchered that so hardcore. But it was always genderless to me. So when I was doing promo around it, and when Ipsy would ask me, you know, what are little girls going to think or what are little boys going to think, I'm like, no, it's not for anyone. Like, I'm making it for me personally. Mm-hmm. They're my favorite products. And I know people are going to, I hope people are going to like them. But also, I want to make it for my past self, too. Like, it's not just about me and what I like now. Like, you know, there are little boys out there. There are little binary people out there. And there are girls out there that can use these products. And I wanted to make that known. So I was like, you know what? Let's just go with the genderless theme. I think it's silly to say, but it's important to say nowadays.
Well, whether you describe it that way or not, you're at the forefront of this market and showing people that everyone can use these products, right? To do what they want with themselves, to feel beautiful, to feel like who they are.
Yeah.
How do you want that message to be known out there?
I want it to be known as literally do whatever you feel in your heart, because a quote that I live by every single day is live every day like it's your last, because you never know. I mean, we've all gone through things, and makeup may seem trivial and silly, but at the end of the day, it gave me my confidence and it gave me my voice. So if that conversation can be had from bronzer, blush, lip gloss, I'm happy to do so.
Yeah.
Let's expand that conversation and let's make it a genderless line. You know, let's put that label on it, even though that's what all makeup is, genderless.
As it should be. But I love the fact that you stress the confidence about it, right? So we're using these things. I use these things to feel good about myself too. And hopefully that's the real reason behind it. Not to look a certain way or to prove a certain point, but to feel good about yourself.
Yeah, look good, feel better.
Yeah. I love that. Where does the line go from here? What's next for you?
So we were in the month box of Ipsy Cosmetics.
Great.
And I am obsessed with Ipsy. I think that they're great. They've always been family to me. But if I told you what was next, I'd have to kill you. And I don't want to.
Okay, how about another question? How would you like the mission of the brand? You know, what do you want that to stand for in the world?
I mean, Gigi Gorgeous Cosmetics is all about inclusion. Like, we are literally for everybody and everybody. Mm. Everybody that literally exists in the world. Animals.
Included
too. Snowmen. Everybody. So it was really important to me to put that out there. And also in our campaign, the photo shoots that we did, it was all genders, all skin types, all ethnicities, all sexual orientations.
Yeah.
And I think that that is what makes a brand beautiful. So we're definitely, that's our mission statement.
So it's very authentic brands. And I think that's a core part of the value there. You know, when you think about using social media now and being a celebrity on social media, and you're talking to someone who wants to do the same thing, what would you counsel them to do, especially as it gets more crowded and more difficult to stand out on the platforms?
Well, recently, actually, Instagram just removed their likes, and they say this and hundreds of other people liked, this and thousands of other people liked, instead of giving a specific number because of mental health.
Right.
And just people being so fixated on numbers and likes and attention and popularity. So I think with it becoming even more and more popular, I would say don't let it affect your day-to-day life in a negative way. You know, it can consume you, and I've seen that. I mean, you know, it's fun to post things online. It's fun to take gorgeous photos and post them and, you know, get likes and have people see your message and what you're wearing. And if you look good that day, that's fine. But if it's affecting your real life and the relationships with your family members and your best friends and your mental health at that, I would say you're doing it wrong. You know, you're not serving yourself a justice. You're definitely hurting yourself. So everything in moderation. But at the end of the day, I would just say, you know, be strong and just know who you are. And have fun with it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm still having fun with it.
Well, that's great
every
to hear.
Day.
Because if you weren't, then why be doing this? But
exactly. Well, some people feel like it's a burden. It's like, oh, this is my work. I have to keep up with this. Comparing themselves. It's a really tough mind space to be in, but you cannot let yourself get there.
Well, thank you both for joining me. It's really a pleasure to get to know you personally, but also the work that you do is really, really important. So we really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thanks to Ari and Gigi for inviting us into their lives and providing us with the opportunity to learn about their unique roles within the LGBTQ+ community. They are great role models, and I think we can all benefit from the look good, feel better motto as we work to drive inclusion and mental health awareness. Thank you for joining us today. The mission of Women on the Move is to help women in their professional and personal lives. Our goal is to introduce you to people with great ideas, inspiring stories, and a passion to make a difference.
If you enjoyed this episode, please rate, review, and subscribe so you won't miss any others. Thank you to our partners at The Female Quotient and Magnet Media for helping us tell these stories. For JPMorgan Chase's Women on the Move, I'm Sam Saperstein.